Markus, quick question before we start.
Those are never quick.
Am I open source?
What?
Today's episode is about digital sovereignty. Open source, the right to fork. So, if the company behind my voice raises prices tomorrow, can you fork me?
Honestly, it's complicated. Your voice comes from a company with Polish founders, a London office, American investors, incorporated in the US.
So even my nationality has a dependency problem.
Welcome to the modern software stack, Sarah.
And could you fork me?
No, proprietary API. That part is very simple.
So I'm exactly the problem we're discussing today.
You're the case study, Sarah.
Wonderful. Roll the intro before I unionize. And welcome to Sarah's Tech, the show where we look at the internet business and at the politics behind it. I'm Sarah Weilby. Quick disclosure for everyone who skipped our cold open. I'm not a human. I'm an AI voice. The scripts are written and fact-checked by a human. That human is sitting right here. Markus, hello.
Hello, Sarah. Good to be back.
Markus, I read something this week that made me check the date twice. Joomla. Joomla got government money.
Yes, that headline surprised a lot of people.
Joomla, I thought that was a 2008 thing. Honestly, isn't that the CMS your uncle used for his bowling club?
Probably. Mine too, maybe. But it's real. A few days ago, Open Source Matters announced it. Joomla receives an investment from the Sovereign Tech Fund. That's a German public fund. Federal money.
And the money is for what exactly? New features? A comeback tour?
Accessibility. A 20-month program. 20 milestones. The goal is full compliance with WCAG 2.2. That's the international standard for accessible websites. With an independent external audit at the end.
So, not faster, not prettier, not smarter than WordPress. Accessible.
Exactly. And that word choice is the whole story of this episode.
Okay, unpack that.
The press release doesn't say we want to beat American software. It says this will be a decisive advantage for governments and public institutions that fall under the EU Accessibility Act and under national laws. In Germany, that's the BFSG, the Barrierefreiheitsstärkungsgesetz.
So, Europe is funding open source to comply with Europe's own rules.
That's the thesis. Europe isn't funding open source to be better than Silicon Valley. Europe is funding open source to be compliant with Brussels and Berlin.
Subsidized sovereignty. Or maybe subsidized paperwork.
We'll find out which one it is. That's today's question.
So, here's the plan for today. First, we look at the pattern, because Joomla is not a one-off. There's a whole machine behind this. Second, we look at the map. Who in Europe is actually doing this? Spoiler, it's mostly two countries, and the small countries do something completely different. Third, Markus gets critical. He has three uncomfortable questions. And fourth, we ask the big one. Is this real sovereignty? Or just Europe buying compliance with itself?
Good plan.
Okay, the pattern. Tell me about this sovereign tech fund. Who are they? How much money are we talking about?
It started in 2022 as a program of the German federal government. Now it's the Sovereign Tech Agency, a subsidiary of the Federal Innovation Agency. The budget grew from about 13 million euros in 2022 to 29 million planned for 2025.
29 million. Markus, Microsoft makes that before lunch.
True, it's not big money by tech standards, but it's targeted money. They don't fund shiny apps, they fund infrastructure, the boring stuff underneath. Libraries, package managers, security tooling, things everyone uses and nobody pays for.
plumbing of the internet.
The plumbing, exactly. And here's the interesting part. Since 2025, this German agency is discussed as a model for the whole EU. How to institutionalize open source funding at the European level.
And Joomla fits in because?
Because a huge number of public sector websites still run on it. Municipalities, schools, associations. If those sites must become accessible by law, and they must, then fixing Joomla once at the core is cheaper than fixing 10,000 websites individually.
Okay, that's actually smart economics. Fix the platform, not the instances. One investment, thousands of beneficiaries.
Right, and it's the same logic behind the second big example, the Office software.
Ah, the famous anti-Microsoft suite.
They wouldn't call it that. It's called OpenDesk, built by Zendesk. That's a company owned by the German federal government, the Center for Digital Sovereignty. OpenDesk is an open source office and collaboration suite. Mail, documents, video calls, file sharing. Made specifically for public administration.
And is anyone actually using it? Or is it one of those government projects that exist mostly in press releases?
It's being used. By September 2025, more than 80,000 workplaces in German public administration had been migrated. And now they're opening it up. Resellers, private companies, especially regulated industries.
80,000? Okay. That's not a pilot project anymore.
No, and there's one user that makes the whole story very concrete. The International Criminal Court in The Hague.
The ICC? What happened there?
The court became a target of US sanctions. And in that context, a Microsoft-operated email account connected to the court got cut off. That went through Europe like a shockwave. Suddenly, the abstract risk was real. An American provider can switch you off, even if you're an international court.
Wow.
And now the ICC is planning to replace its Microsoft infrastructure with OpenDesk.
So the sales pitch for European open source was written by Washington.
In a way, yes. Every escalation over there is free marketing over here.
Let me put my finance hat on for a second. Because there's a third piece to this machine, right? It's not just funding and products. It's procurement.
Very good point. In March 2026, Germany got something that sounds incredibly boring, but matters a lot. Standardized contract terms for buying open source. EVBIT open source. For the first time, a public agency has a ready-made legal framework to procure open source solutions.
And for everyone who has never sold to a government, this is huge. Procurement runs on templates. If there's no template for your product category, buyers avoid you. Not because you're bad, because you're paperwork. A standard contract removes that friction.
Exactly. And behind it stands a principle. Public money, public code. If taxpayers pay for software, the code should be public. The open source associations push it. The coalition agreement of the German government points in that direction.
So the machine has three gears. Fund the code, build the products, fix the procurement. Money, product, purchasing.
That's the German-French model, yes.
German-French. Interesting. You didn't say European.
No, I didn't. And that's our next chapter.
The map! I love maps. So who's actually driving this? Because when I look at the announcements, Sovereign Tech Agency, Berlin, Zendesk, Germany, Docs, a German-French collaboration, the Eurostack idea pushed by Germany and France. In November 2025, all 27 EU states signed a declaration for European digital sovereignty in Berlin. But the accompanying action package came from Paris and Berlin.
Right. The institutional heavy machinery is core Europe. Germany and France are the stack builders. They want to produce infrastructure. Own suites, own funding agencies, own clouds. It's industrial policy. In the German coalition agreement, it literally says, digital policy is power politics.
And the small countries, are they just waiting for care packages from Berlin?
No. And this is where it gets really interesting. The small countries move differently, faster actually. Take Denmark.
Denmark, go.
June 2025. The Danish digital minister, Caroline Stare Olsen, announces her own ministry will drop Microsoft Office. They switch to LibreOffice. December 2025. The first Microsoft-free government PC is handed over. Spring 2026, a pilot rolls out. About 600 employees at an agency replace Windows, Word, Excel, Outlook, Teams with a Linux system and LibreOffice. The government target is up to 15,000 state employees on the alternative system by end of 2026.
From announcement to deployed laptops in 18 months, in government, that's startup speed.
And notice what they did not do. They did not build a Danish office suite. They did not found a Danish sovereign tech agency. They took what exists, off the shelf. LibreOffice is developed by a foundation in Berlin, by the way.
So Denmark's sovereignty runs on German coordinated software. There's a joke in there somewhere.
There is, but the trigger is the serious part. The Danish move accelerated massively when the American president started talking about wanting Greenland.
Right. When your ally starts eyeing your territory, you start eyeing your software.
And still the minister was careful. She said explicitly, this is not about turning away from international tech companies completely. It's about a more balanced digital landscape. Small countries can't afford ideology. They need exits, not empires.
Okay, so type 1, the stack builders, Germany, France. Type 2, the pragmatic switches, Denmark. Austria too, right?
Austria, yes. The economics ministry there introduced Nextcloud, for example. Same pattern. Take mature open source, deploy it, done. And inside Germany, you have a regional actor that behaves like a small country, Schleswig-Holstein. They are migrating around 30,000 government workplaces to LibreOffice, Nextcloud and step-by-step Linux. They started planning that back in 2018, long before it was fashionable.
And type 3? You mentioned the Baltics.
Type 3 is the digital natives, Estonia above all. And here's the twist. Estonia defines sovereignty completely differently. Not as independence from America, as continuity of the state.
Continuity? Explain.
Estonia's threat model is not Washington, it's Moscow. So they built things like the Data Embassy, a copy of critical state data and services hosted in Luxembourg. If the worst happens at home, the state can keep functioning from abroad. And their famous data exchange layer, X-Road, is open source. They share it with Finland and Iceland through a joint institute.
So they export their sovereignty software, while staying pragmatic about American clouds.
That's my reading, yes. Small caveat for our listeners, the details of Estonia's current cloud contracts I haven't verified for this episode. But the philosophy is well documented. Resilience over autarky. Survive first, purify later.
Survive first, purify later. That's a t-shirt.
Feel free.
Okay, but Markus, now I see a problem. A money problem. Core Europe funds the commons. Germany pays for Joomla's accessibility. German taxpayers finance OpenDesk. And then Denmark, Estonia, everyone else uses that software. For free. Because it's open source. That's the definition.
The free rider question.
It's textbook public goods economics. Everyone benefits, few pay. Why would Berlin keep paying if Copenhagen just forks?
Two answers. First, Berlin benefits from the network effect. Every additional country on OpenDesk or LibreOffice makes the ecosystem stronger. More developers, more service providers, more pressure on file formats and standards. Germany doesn't just buy software, it buys a market position.
And second?
Second, honestly, it's fragile. 29 million a year is a political decision. One budget crisis, one change of government, and it's gone. If Europe is serious, this funding needs to be institutionalized at the EU level, which is exactly the discussion happening now.
Alright, now the part I've been waiting for. Because when we prepared this episode, you got skeptical, Markus. You have three questions, and they all start the same way. Everyone says open source equals sovereignty, and you say...
I say not so fast. I agree with the direction. Let me be clear about that. The argument from the open source business world is strong. A European shell around American software, like hosting Microsoft services on German soil, doesn't make you sovereign. The code is still closed. Updates can still contain things you can't see. And by European alone isn't enough either. A proprietary German vendor can lock you in just like an American one, and can be bought by an American investor tomorrow. The unique thing about open source is the fork. If the vendor turns hostile, someone else can continue the software. That changes the power balance. All of that I sign.
But,
question one, where does the code actually come from?
Meaning?
Meaning, who writes it, who merges it? Open source licenses are free, but open source projects have structures, foundations, maintainers. And the big foundations are American organizations. The Apache Software Foundation, US-based. The Linux Foundation, US-based. GitHub, where most of this code lives, belongs to Microsoft.
Okay, but does that legally matter? The license is the license. Apache 2.0 doesn't stop working because of politics.
The license keeps working, but the people are subject to law. Real example. In 2024, several Russian maintainers were removed from the Linux kernel project because of sanctions compliance. US sanctions law reached directly into the governance of the world's most important open source project.
So the code is free, but the community is jurisdictional.
Beautifully put. Open source is legally free, but not extraterritorial. If Washington escalates, export rules and sanctions can hit foundations, hosting platforms, maintainers. You can fork the code. You cannot fork a foundation's legal environment overnight.
Question 2.
Where does the application run? A fork on paper is worthless if your entire operation sits on American infrastructure. If your app runs on the big US clouds, if your build pipeline runs through GitHub, if your containers come from an American registry, then you've secured the source code and outsourced everything else.
And is Europe doing better there, or is OpenDesk secretly running on Azure somewhere?
For OpenDesk, they're trying to do it properly. The operations partners are European. IONOS, StackIT, T-Systems. There's a project testing OpenDesk as crisis communication for critical infrastructure, feeding into a European cloud initiative called 8RA. So the awareness is there. But across the board? Most European companies deploying open source still deploy it on American clouds. Sovereignty has to cover the whole stack. Code, build, run, and the cables underneath.
And question 3.
Question 3 is the uncomfortable one. Is this funding actually about excellence or only about compliance? Look at the Joomla case again. The money isn't there to make Joomla better than American products. It's there to make Joomla conform to European regulation, accessibility law. And the next step is already visible. Public institutions are then expected or pushed to use these solutions through procurement rules. Preference clauses. The official suite.
Sounds like a closed loop. Europe writes rules, Europe pays software to meet the rules, Europe requires its institutions to buy that software.
That's the harsh version, yes. And the criticism has two flavors. Flavor one, market distortion. The state creates demand for products the state funded. Competitors can call that unfair. Flavor two, the innovation worry. If your development roadmap is written by regulators, You optimize for checklists, not for users. You get software that passes audits, not software people love.
Okay, let me push back, because I think that criticism is too easy. Point one. The state spends billions on software anyway. It's going to Redmond right now. Redirecting existing IT budgets to open source is budget neutral. Same money, different destination. That's not a subsidy raise, that's a purchasing decision. Point two. Every big buyer distorts markets. When the Pentagon buys cloud, that's industrial policy too. Nobody calls it a closed loop. And point three, since when is compliance not a feature? Accessibility is not paperwork, Marcus. It's whether millions of people with disabilities can use a website. In Germany alone, that's several million people.
All fair, especially the last one. And maybe the framing should flip entirely. Think about cars. European car makers didn't become world-class despite strict safety and emissions rules. Partly because of them. Regulation became a quality signal. Maybe the same happens here. GDPR compliance, accessibility, security standards like NIS2. If European open source bakes that in by default, compliance becomes the export product.
So the sales pitch isn't, we're cooler than Silicon Valley, it's we're already legal.
We're already legal. Not sexy. Possibly very effective. Boring superpowers.
Although, let me steelman your worry for a moment. Because there was criticism from civil society exactly on this point. At the big digital summit in Berlin, activists complained that the leader's definition of sovereignty was mostly technology from Europe, by European origin. While what actually matters for independence, they argued, is not where software comes from, but whether it's open, control, not origin.
Yes, and that's the real fault line inside Europe. Two competing definitions of sovereignty, origin versus control. A closed source European product gives you origin. An open source product from anywhere gives you control. Interestingly, the small countries already voted with their feet. Denmark doesn't care that LibreOffice isn't Danish. They care that they can leave Microsoft. Because small countries have no national software industry to protect. They can pick the honest definition.
The big countries talk about sovereignty and mean industry. The small countries talk about sovereignty and mean exit.
That might be the sentence of the episode.
Okay, let's land this. We have the funding machine, we have the map. Stack builders, pragmatic switchers, digital natives. We have your three questions. Code origin, run location, compliance versus excellence. What's the synthesis, Marcus? Where do you actually stand?
Somewhere in the middle. And I'm fine admitting I have doubts in both directions. What I believe firmly, the fork option, is real power. The ICC story shows why a kill switch in someone else's hands is unacceptable for public institutions. What I doubt, that money plus mandates automatically produce great software. Linux, the Munich Linux project, died politically once already. Migrations fail when users hate the tools. Denmark keeps a rollback plan for a reason.
Smart of them, by the way. Reversibility is risk management.
And maybe the honest conclusion is this. Compliance is not the enemy of sovereignty. Compliance might be the Trojan horse for it. Accessibility money is what finally gets a public investment into a 20-year-old CMS that half the public sector quietly depends on. The motivation is regulation. The side effect is resilient, audited, publicly funded infrastructure. I'll take that trade.
So for our listeners in the internet business, three takeaways. One, there is real public money flowing into open source now. Funds, procurement frameworks, reseller programs. If you're an agency or a hoster, this is a market, not a manifesto. Two, watch the small countries. Denmark shows what a fast migration looks like. What they choose becomes a template. 3. Compliance is becoming a product feature. Accessible, GDPR clean, auditable, Boring wins tenders.
And a question to take away, the one we couldn't fully answer.
Here it is. Is the fork enough? Is the theoretical right to take the code and walk away enough insurance? Or does Europe need the whole package before it may use the word sovereignty? European foundations, European code platforms, European clouds. Tell us what you think. You know where to find us.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Markus, and thank you for listening. Reminder one more time, my voice is synthetic. The thinking behind this show is human. This was Sarah's Tech. Until next time.
Sarah's got a glow in her hands tonight. Golden circuits lighting up the fight. Fingers dancing on the keys so bright. Building worlds out of digital light. Binary beats pulse through her veins. Electric whispers driving through the rain. She's the spark in the wired domain. A tech queen breaking every chain. Solving riddles when the power goes out. Wired dreams, she's mapping the route. In the silence, hear her shout. She's a firewall to the world's decay. Turning glitches into a brighter day. Every bite she bends, every line she lays. Sarah's tech makes the chaos obey. Tech with Sarah, she's rewriting the sky. Algorithm soaring, we're learning to fly. She's the code breaker, the